Hello, everybody. This is the Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske. Tonight, we're going to be going through Psalm 60 on the topic of victory.
So verse 1 through 3 here, it says, "You have rejected us, O God, and burst forth upon us. You have been angry. Now restore us. You have shaken the land and torn it open. Mend its fractures, for it is quaking. You have shown your people desperate times. You have given us wine that makes us stagger."
Yeah, so the kind of the backdrop of Psalm 60, it says it's a Psalm of David for teaching, you know, inferring, you know, there's a lot that you can learn from this. And, you know, a lot of times we find ourselves in situations or circumstances as believers where we need the Lord to show up, you know, outside of our own strength and our own abilities and our own resources. You know, there's only so much we can control, and we need the Lord's intervention, and we need the Lord behind us to have success and have victory in our lives. And we see kind of the context here, Psalm 60. It says when he fought Aram-Naharaim and Aram-Zobah, and when Joab returned and struck down the 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Saul. So we see that, you know, this is a time where he's about to have a lot of victory in his life. You know, he has these successful campaigns. Mm-hmm. But these first three verses, it seems like it's not going that way, right? And we don't have exact context of what those battles were or what was exactly going on. But he's expressing frustration where, Lord, it feels like you've rejected us and we don't feel your presence. And we feel like you're not with us. And we feel like you're judging us, right? We're losing people and we're losing battles and the momentum's not with us. And what's going on, you know? And my takeaway from the first three verses is at least he's praying, right? And step one, whenever you come up against a battle or adversity or you need a word, the number one thing you have to do is pray. And that sounds so simple, like, oh, duh, like pray about it. You know, how often are people say that? Like, oh, just pray about it. Like, the follow through on that of I'm going to actually take this to God. I have a need and I'm going to give it to him and humble myself enough to ask him to come into the situation and trust him with it.
Yeah, there's so much that you just said there. I mean, I would start with, if you read through the summary of David's victories like you did tonight, and that's 2 Samuel 8, I believe, right? So here's, you know, victory, 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 victory. Now you read Psalm 60, and like you said, these first three verses, and so sometimes we can, you know, we see that the headline at the end, or we read the concluding headline, not realizing just the difficulty that went into that success, the struggle.
Yeah.
You know, so these campaigns that he's doing, it wasn't just all perfect sunshine and rainbows throughout. Mm-hmm. You know, difficulty built in, like we were talking about a couple weeks ago on the pod. If it was easy, then it wouldn't have value, because then that means that everybody could do it. Mm-hmm. So inherently what makes it have value is that it is difficult and it's not something everybody can do.
Absolutely.
Right? And it is talents and skills that you have worked at and honed for years that now allows you to then, you know, have success in this area.
Yeah.
Right? All with the backdrop of just the Lord behind it. You know, so there's the kind of the almost the you know, conundrum is of faith is, you know, the analogy of the farmer. And here's this, you know, beautiful field. And the person says to the farmer, like, look how amazing how God has blessed you with this crop. And he's like, well, yes. And I also had to plant it. Right. So it's like that symbiotic relationship of working as if it's all on you.
Yeah.
Praying as if it's all on God. Right. And going hand to hand together. And then you mentioned just the, you know, blessings of God. I always like that verse in James. If you flip over to James, where he says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers." This is James chapter 1. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, mm-hmm. coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows."
Mm.
Every good and perfect gift is from above. So anything that's happening good to you on a day-to-day basis, which is so many things,
yeah,
is coming from the Lord. If you take the Lord out of the equation, now it's hell, where it's everything that could go wrong goes wrong.
Yeah.
And it's miserable.
Yeah.
Right. So it's God that's holding it all together, and it's God that's giving the victory. Not to get ahead on your point, but you made a really good point tonight where you said that blessing may come through people, right? It may be directed by this coach or this organization or this situation, right? But it's being directed by the Lord.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So a lot there in these first three verses, and you said, so true, you know, just starting with prayer. That was a teaching we gave a while ago, but I always just think back to, you know, First Samuel there when he's just devastated with what's going on in Ziklag, and his men are talking of stoning him. And it says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Mm. And that's the turning point, yeah. Right, with what happened at Ziklag. That's the turning point that happens with anything. Like you're saying, is that humility. So it seems easy. Okay, pray about it. But sometimes it can be hard because it can be our own pride that holds us from that, or our own fears where we just break down into complaining about it,
yeah,
to everybody around us instead of actually praying.
Yeah, it turns into, do you really want to be healed, or
yeah,
do you just want an excuse, or
right,
do you want something to complain about?
Right.
You know, and yeah, just that turning point of bringing, it's easy, as easy as it is to pray, it's also easy not to pray.
Right.
You know, and so just that discipline and that automatic trained response of, no matter what it is, I'm going to take it to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And just to, you know, wrap up the point and piggyback off of something you just said, just about how every good and perfect gift comes from above, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's kind of tied into that when things start to fall apart a little bit. That's when you kind of realize, or maybe this is just my experience, you start to realize how it really was the Lord holding everything together.
Yeah.
And you start to realize, wow, like, there is so much that, like, I don't deserve, and it's only because of God's goodness that I'm experiencing this. You know, it makes me think of C.S. Lewis, where he talks about, you know, the problem of pain, and,
yeah,
you know, the blessing of that is, you know, the blessing of rain is it makes you appreciate sunshine, right? And in a cloudy day, it makes you appreciate,
mm-hmm,
all those things that are going well for you, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to go full circle and big picture, like, why would the Lord let some things go this way and some things another? It gives you perspective, and it'll teach you gratitude.
Yes.
So that's step one, you know, these first three verses, you know, it wasn't easy. Everything wasn't just, you know, snap of the fingers.
Right.
There was some struggle built into it, but props to David, his automatic response was to pray.
Yeah.
All right. And that takes us to verse 4. He says, but for those who fear you, you have raised a banner to be unfurled against the bow. When I read this, I took that as, you know, if you have the fear of the Lord, you're automatically going to obey him.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that obedience just comes all the favor and blessing that God has to give. And I reference back to Saul and how serious the Lord takes obedience. It's because we saw Saul just lose the kingship, lose his future, and lose his present, like we talked about a few weeks back, all because of what? He stopped obeying exactly what the Lord told him to do.
Yep.
Right? And we find that in 1 Samuel 15, Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Right, like, Saul was trying to make excuses and justify why he did what he did. And he says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat cat fat of the rams. Right? So understand the Lord's perspective. If you trust me enough to come to me in prayer about it through your words, I expect you to back that up with your actions through obedience. And then I can trust you. And knowing that you're aligned with what I'm aligned with, I can be behind you and bless you going forward.
Yeah. That's in a nutshell, right? Because the purposes of God are going to be accomplished. It's whether you're along for the ride.
Absolutely.
With it.
Absolutely.
Are you coming along with that?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be somebody else?
Yeah.
That's going to do that?
Yeah.
Right? And obviously we went in depth with that a couple weeks back, talking about just the dynamics of Saul and David, right? But yeah, it's definitely a word there. But for those who fear you, you have raised a banner to be unfurled against the bow, right? And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Absolutely.
So it's like that's the framework for everything on how you see everything in life is not through the lens of culture or, you know, what your so-called friends think,
mm-hmm,
or anything like that, but the fear of the Lord, and now how am I seeing this? What is my perspective and thought process on this that then guides my actions towards it?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. So that's verse 4. It takes us to verse 5 here, and it says, "Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from his sanctuary. In triumph I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet, Judah my scepter. Moab is my wash basin. Upon Edom I toss my sandal. Over Philistia I shout in triumph." And my takeaways from those few verses were, a lot of times when we feel like we're, you know, going through it and everything's crumbling, we can ask ourselves, you know, where is God in all this, right? You know, whether it be just the economy or the government or, you know, a job situation or a team dynamic, you know, whatever it is that has a way of rattling us, a lot of times it'd be good for us to remind ourselves of what God says about the situation and that everything is mine, right? So David's worried about all these territories and all these people he's going to have to fight, and God's saying, they all belong to me, right? I'm in control of all of it, whether you feel like it or not, whether you recognize it or not, like you brought up earlier from James, the Lord doesn't toss left and right, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is in control. And that could be a big word of encouragement, just to realize no matter what you're seeing in the present, the Lord's above it all, and he's in control of it all at the end of the day.
Yeah, and working it out in ways far beyond what you can realize.
Yeah.
In your temporary circumstances.
Yeah.
Right? Just aligning your steps for the future way beyond you could ever fathom or plan for yourself. Because you don't know how all the pieces fit together and you don't know the future, but the Lord does.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And is weaving that together for you, right? And that's the trust that we have, that then, as it tells you in Thessalonians, to give thanks in all circumstances, okay? Because if you're not giving thanks in all circumstances, then you don't trust God, that God is moving correctly in your life. And we know that in all things, God works together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose, right? So that's your aspect of faith, like you referenced tonight. You know, if you can see it through to its conclusion, then it didn't require any faith. Okay, so there's the aspect of faith where it's, as it says in Hebrews, faith is being certain of what we hope for, right? Sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So it's like there's the aspect of faith in practice, that even though I can't see this, I'm trusting God to bring that through, yeah, right?
Absolutely. And that's how it all ties together. That leads us to verse 10. He says, "Is it not you, O God, you who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies?" Verse 11, "Give us aid against the enemy, for the help of man is worthless." I starred that. I underlined it. You know, that could be a teaching in and of itself. We referenced it earlier. But I think so many times we think the answer is going to be, oh, if I could just have this hookup with this person, or, you know, if I could just get the funding from here, or, you know, this coach or that parent, you know, mom and dad, this, that. We always like let our brains go to thinking that way, when in reality, the next verse is true. You know, the help of man is worthless. Like, it doesn't matter, right? So all these plan Bs that you have of, oh, like, this is my way out. He's saying, with God, we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies, right? So plan A, B, C, all the way to X, Y, and Z, the Lord.
Mm.
The Lord may use someone to bless you.
Yes.
Right? He may use a circumstance. He may use a coach. It's all under his control, like we learned from the previous verses. He owns it all, and he's in control of it all, right? And how he determines how he's going to work the miracle, that's him, right? But you, like you said earlier, you just have to have the faith and the trust to see it through, right? So understand that, you know, help a man is worthless. It's not, you can't put your faith and trust in men, right? It's with God we will gain the victory. He might use men, but it's him.
Right.
Yeah,
the key difference there is that there's always going to be disappointment wrapped up when you're looking at humans to solve your problems, when you're looking at man to solve your problems, always, because it's like God is going to teach you that lesson of that this is not who you're supposed to be worshiping or looking for you know, provision or favor, whatever that is. Because as soon as that leaves somebody's mouth, where it's like, oh, if this person would just, you know, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. and it's looking to man for help, it's like, it's going to end in frustration. I see that over and over again, where it's like, I thought this person would do this, and why didn't they do this? And it's like, it doesn't matter, right? It's God that's going to handle that. It's God that's going to work. If there's something to be worked out here, God's going to do it. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that may come through man, but it's God that's moving that. Mm-hmm. It's God that's determining that.
Yeah.
You know, we went into detail with that. I'm just thinking about that section in 2 Samuel where David prays, O Lord, turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. And then here's the determinant whether he's going to listen, whether Absalom's going to listen to Ahithophel or listen to Hushai. Mm-hmm. And it says, right, that Absalom and all the men of Israel said the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than that of Ahithophel, for the Lord had determined to frustrate the good advice of Ahithophel in order to bring disaster on Absalom.
Yeah.
Right, so the Lord just pivoting that situation.
Yeah.
Right, the Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster, as it says in Proverbs. Right, so it's like if you just shift your perspective and mindset on thinking that this is somehow going to come down to man and I need to kiss up to this person or make this person happy, they don't exist.
Exactly.
They don't exist.
Exactly.
Right? It's coming down to what the Lord is going to determine. And now you're almost getting into, you know, what it says in Ephesians. And I feel like this verse gets overlooked a lot, but for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, mm-hmm. but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Everything that's real is actually happening in the spiritual realm, not in this matrix,
yeah.
essentially, that we live in.
Yeah.
Right? So it's happening in the spiritual world, and now you're seeing it in the matrix. But we often get it the reverse, yeah. where it's like we're fussing about things in the matrix, and that's how we want things to move.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why our prayers aren't answered.
Yeah.
You know, because we're trying to, you know, we're putting a human being in place of God and thinking this person, right? Oh, if only this person.
And a distinction that comes to mind for me is even if he does use a person, because it's the Lord behind it, that person is going to be able to accomplish something for you that they would not be able to accomplish without the Lord.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And this isn't a subtweet to anyone, but in our world, like, there's a lot of kids who, like, have agents or coaches and
right.
stuff like that. And I see them go through frustration where it's like, oh, my agent knows a guy, or this guy knows a guy, or my mm-hmm. coach said this, or
yeah.
my coach knows a guy. And it's like, they don't matter.
The agent's a big one.
I know,
the agent is either getting just praised, like, oh, I have the best agent ever, and that's why this is coming, or my agent's terrible, bro. That's like a daily conversation.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, he's just a, you know, a conduit at best.
Yes.
Somebody's just doing the job, right? But it's you know.
It's not up to him.
Right.
He's not all. God.
Right.
Right?
No.
And so to have the perspective of I'm seeking the Lord and it's the Lord who gives me victory, then you're open to the possibility that
yes.
the agent could work something.
Right.
And wow, this opportunity came out of nowhere.
Because God's not going to let the agent get the credit.
No.
So now you said I'm not going to subtweet anybody. All right. But what he's saying, you know, because there's an athlete in the facility right now, and it's very much like, oh, my agent's so amazing, and my agent is going to, you know, hook everything up for me, and it's like it God's not going to let that guy get the credit for it. So as long as that's in your mouth, that's why it's being frustrated.
Yeah.
But if it's like, okay, now I realize that it's coming from the Lord and I finally humble myself before God,
yeah.
God help me.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying earlier that you were referencing in the teaching, because you said, I was like, what is he talking about? I didn't even remember I said it. But the different conversation that I was having earlier, that you were there when I was talking about it and saying that, you know, if God is the master of your need, then no wonder he hates a proud look, Proverbs, because a proud look will never admit need.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's like there has to be that aspect of just you humble yourself, and the agent can't do it, mm-hmm. right? Whoever else you're putting in that role of thinking that they're the ones giving you provision, or they're going to hook it up, or they're going to make it happen. Yeah. Once you realize that it's not, and you humble yourself and you say, God help me, now things can move, because it's God who's going to get the credit for it. And God's, it's a one big setup, mm-hmm. that when you talk about it, it's going to be, and God did this for me.
Absolutely.
And there's the testimony.
Absolutely.
And the humble shall hear and rejoice.
Absolutely.
Right?
Right. So yeah, those first two points, you got to pray, got to take it to the Lord, you have to obey. It has to be taken out through action. The last point tonight was just, you have to recognize you're still in a fight. Right. A lot of times people think, oh, if I just give it to the Lord, and if I'm on the good boy list and I stay out of trouble, you know, everything's just going to be handed to me. And that's not reality. Right. You have to understand that, you know, there's still battles to be won. You still have to fight. You still have to pick up your sword. And we see David do that time and time again. You know, like we recognize from these first three verses, it wasn't easy. And he did have to fight. Mm-hmm. Right. So keep that perspective. There's still going to be struggle. There's still going to be a battle. It makes you appreciate it, and it makes you better.
Yes.
And since the Lord loves you, he's going to let you get better, right, and become the best version of yourself.
Yeah, God didn't give you gifts and talents for you to lay on the couch with them.
Absolutely.
He gave you these gifts and talents for you to put them on display.
Absolutely.
So if you want a biblical example of that, think about Elijah being fed by the ravens in the brook. Mm-hmm. Now the brook dries up because you can do no more in the brook. Now it's time that these gifts and talents are going to be put on display, mm-hmm. and do what you were called to do.
Yeah.
Right? And there's the fight.
Yeah.
It's not gonna consist of you just laying on the couch and thinking that it's just gonna all come to you. You have to take action.
Yeah. But it's once you align yourself through prayer, Lord help me, I'm giving this to you. I'm obeying. Mm-hmm. I'm in agreement with you. Now you can
now be the word can me. Be blessed.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's where the fight really follows.
You're not through. Just working to work.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. So that's Psalm 60, you know, the topic of victory. And again, we ended in 2 Samuel 8. You can read through that section and just see the incredible things and the incredible victories that David had, you know, in conclusion of this. And the reason why I think 2 Samuel 8 ties in with Psalm 60 is because of those places that are referenced, you know, the Zobah, where is it? Armenia, and then you know the Edomites in the Valley of Saul, right? And one of the things that gets highlighted time and time again throughout 2 Samuel 8 is the Lord gave David victory wherever he went, right? And so it might be a struggle, but the end conclusion was what? Victory, right? And if you want that, I know I certainly do. We have a lot of kids here at the study that need victory right now, and they need a word, and they need the Lord to show up and come through, and we want to give them testimony. We want to give them praise. We want to rejoice. And so if you can just pray about it, give it to God. If you can align yourself in obedience and understand that the Lord will tell you to do stuff, he'll give you a word, you have to act on it, right? Have courage, have faith, right? And be in the fight, right? And he will give you the victory.
Mm-hmm. And that's the Monday Night Pod, Psalm 60. Tyler and Fenske, we'll see you next week.